If you would, take your Bibles and go to Psalm 19. Today, Sunday, June the 25th, 2023. We're going to begin in Psalm 19. And I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say that God is the author of the Scriptures. Jesus Christ said that the Scriptures are God speaking to you. It's God's way of communicating to us. And Jesus Christ also said that the Word, the Scriptures, are the truth. And this morning, we're going to look at what God has to say about His words in Psalm 19. And we're going to start in the middle, actually. We're going to read the whole psalm, but I wanted to look and get a little better understanding of verses 7 through 10. So, Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Years ago, Kathy and I were visiting Rome, and we went to St. Peter's Cathedral, a gigantic place there in the Vatican. And we were with a tour group, and we were standing looking at what looked like this beautiful painting. And our tour guide told us that this beautiful picture, originally painted by the great artist Raphael, was not a painting. He said, "That's not a painting you're looking at. It's a mosaic." We're like, "What?" Thousands of tiny pieces of glass put together to replicate that great painting by Raphael. And it took a team of 6 artists 9 years to put that together. And so at first glance, you know, it appears to be a beautiful painting. But if you look real close, you can actually see those tiny pieces of glass that all fit together and make a beautiful picture. God's Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, is filled with gems of great truths. It's a holy, gigantic, mosaic masterpiece, if you will, of His words. And in God's Word, God many times uses different words relating to what He communicates. Words, and you see this mostly in the Old Testament, words like precepts, statutes, commandments, law, word, judgments, testimonies. And all of those words, obviously from the Hebrew, all of them have specific meanings. And when they're used in reference to God, they all refer to what God has communicated to mankind. And in these 3 verses that we just read, there are 6 references to God's word. So in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Law, this word law means instruction or direction. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Testimony means something revealed. Then moving on to verse 8, statutes. Statutes means properly appointed or a mandate of God. God's word is something that's properly appointed. Then the commandment of the Lord, a commandment. Oh, that's pretty easy. That's a command. It's easy to understand. It's interesting, the next one in verse 9, the fear of the Lord. The word fear means awe or reverence. And the fear of the Lord here refers to God's word because of its awe and majesty. when one reads and studies God's word, when you meet God in his word, you see his great awe and majesty. Sometimes we use the phrase, God's word is awesome. It's awesome. And then judgments mean right or judicial requirements. And if you noticed, all six of these are of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear or reverence of the Lord, the awe of the Lord, and then the judgments of the Lord. And right here, God also describes his communication. Back to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The word perfect means complete and sound. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Sure means faithful and enduring. God's word is faithful and enduring. The statutes of the Lord are right. The word right means righteous or just. God's word is righteous and just. Then the commandment of the Lord is pure. And pure means clean. God's word is clean. There's no impurities in it. You're probably reminded of that verse. The word of the Lord is tried in a furnace of earth, like silver, seven times purified. God's word's clean. There's no junk in it. And then the fear of the Lord is clean. And that word clean means cleansing. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto the commandments. God's word is cleansing. And then the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. True and righteous means totally true and reliable. That's what God says about his word. What God communicates to us, his instructions or his direction or whatever God reveals. His words are perfect. His words are sure and certain. They are right. They are clean. They are cleansing. They are true and reliable and righteous altogether. Can we trust such communication as that? Not everything we listen to in the world today would fall into this category, would it? No. No. So then how valuable is a right understanding of God's word, the scriptures? And then these verses also show us the benefit to us. Back to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The word converting means returning. God's words cause those who have turned away to turn back to him. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. His words make wise the simple with God's wisdom. In Timothy, it says, the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And God's wisdom from his words give us wisdom on many, many different things. Then we're in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's word causes rejoicing in our heart when we understand it. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Then the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If your eyes are closed, you don't see anything, right? God's word opens our eyes, makes things clear. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word makes things clear to us. And then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. His words endure forever. In Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It endures forever. No wonder verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. How valuable are God's words? Not just a little piece of gold that might have some junk in it, not really pure, but much fine gold, more to be desired than much fine gold, very valuable to us. And they're sweeter than honey or the honeycomb. So this is what the author, God, says about his words, what he communicates to us. And as I mentioned before, Jesus Christ said that the scriptures are God speaking to you. So we have this written word of God. And we also have the Spirit of God in us, right? Six of the nine manifestations are God communicating to us. Aren't we blessed? Let's now read this whole psalm. I wanted to point this out ahead of time so that when we get to it, as we read the psalm, it's kind of fresh in your mind. But the first part of this psalm is about God's word seen in the heavens. And the second part is about God's written word. It's just fabulous. Verse 1, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The heavens, it's everything you can see up there, day or night. The heavens, it says, declare. And that word declare means to rehearse, implying repetition. And then the firmament, same thing, all of it. We don't even know how big it is. It's like every year they go, you know what? We think there's a few billion more galaxies out there. Well, just the firmament shows or tells or makes known his handiwork. From the time of Adam to Moses was 2,500 years. There was no written word of God until Moses. First book of the Bible, Genesis. Who wrote it? Moses. So for 2,500 years, there was no written word of God. Keep your finger here because we'll be back. Go to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to look at a couple of interesting verses in Romans. Romans chapter 1. And remembering that we read, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth, or the firmament, shows his handiwork. Romans chapter 1. Everybody there? Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. It should be to them. For God hath showed it. God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How? How were people supposed to know his plans, his purposes, his counsels? How were they supposed to know? It says from the creation of the world, yet there was no written word for 2,500 years. Look at chapter 10 of Romans. Chapter 10 and in verse 17. Familiar verse. So then faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. The last part of that, verse 18, is actually a quote from Psalm 19. And it's in verse 4. We'll look at it in a minute. But isn't that interesting? Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. What words? What words? How could they hear? Let's go back to Psalm 19 now again. This is just fascinating. God's word is just awesome. Psalm 19:1 again. The heavens, all of it up there, declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The heavens rehearse and repeat the glory of God. The firmament shows or tells and makes known his handiwork. Now, some people think that this verse is just talking about the great beauty and awe of seeing the stars and the constellations. Isn't that just beautiful? But there's a lot more to it than that. So keep your finger here again. Genesis chapter 1. Easiest place to find during a teaching, isn't it? Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Oh, I can find that. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 14 says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them, the lights up there in the firmament, be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. They were to be for signs, and that word signs means signs for things or someone to come. And then also for seasons, and the word seasons means appointed times. So back to Psalm 19 again. The heavens declare, rehearse the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day, that means day after day, uttereth speech, and night unto night, or night after night, shows knowledge. Day after day it utters, meaning consistently pours out speech, which means words are speaking. Night unto night, night after night, shows knowledge or information. Day after day, night after night. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language, says, where their voice is not heard. The word where is in italics, and it makes it confusing. Just get rid of it. There is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. It's not words we hear from the heavens. It's not like you go out at night and you're looking at the stars and then you hear words. You know, I am God, I created the heavens and the earth. Oh, cool. It's not words we hear from the heavens, but rather God shows his communication. It's on display in the stars, the heavenly bodies, and their movements. Who set it all up? We just read it in Genesis. God's the one that set it all up. It's a universal witness to the glory of God. The great researcher E.W. Bullinger did quite a study on this topic. I forgot to bring my book out. What's it called? Witness of the Stars? Yeah, where he just really went through and looked at it. So we read in Romans 1, it said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Keep your finger here again. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 4. Psalm 147, verse 4. He, talking about God, telleth the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. We don't even know how many there are, and God has named every single one of them. Everything that we can see with our naked eye, everything we can see with the telescopes, and everything we can't see, God has named them all. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. I would say so, right? Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45. Take a look at verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host have I commanded. Remember we read in Genesis where God said, let there be lights in the heavens. He put the whole thing together. I made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. One more before we get back to 19. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God just spoke it into being. Let there be lights. His power is infinite. He gathered the waters of the sea together, verse 7, as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear or reverence the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. What a God. We're talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. So back to Psalm 19. What an awesome psalm this is. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork day unto day, day after day, uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There's no speech nor language, their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You might remember that we just read in Romans. Romans 1:10 was quoting from this thing. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. That tabernacle means a tent or a house for the sun. Everywhere on earth you can see the sun. It's not as long as it's not cloudy, right? And, you know, God's talking about how the sun comes out of his house like a bridegroom comes out, and you know, you could see him go all the way across. That's just kind of a beautiful way of saying it. The signs of the zodiac, often referred to as houses of the sun. And we always need to remember that astronomy is the true science of the study of the stars. Astrology is a counterfeit from the adversary. Astrology is from our enemy. And there's some really fantastic references to stars and constellations in the book of Job. If you ever want to go digging through Job, checking it out. But the knowledge of God's word displayed in the stars really has been lost for the most part. But remember the wise men in Matthew chapter 2? Why did they go to Jerusalem? They were educated men who studied the stars, and obviously information had been passed down to them. And they knew from the study of the stars all that was up there. They knew that the king of Israel, this very important king, had been born. So much so that they made this very long journey to come and worship and bring gifts from their knowledge of the stars. Interesting. That's the first part of this psalm. God's word communicated in the heavens. And the next part of this psalm is God's word written in the scriptures. Verse 7. And we've read this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear, awe of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, verse 11, by them, by God's words, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The word warned means enlightened. By God's word is thy servant. The word enlightened means taught or admonished. By God's word, we are enlightened, we are taught, we are admonished. And in keeping of them, in keeping God's word, there is great reward. God promises that. No wonder he said in verse 10, more to be desired than much fine gold. By keeping them, there is great reward. And then the psalm ends by saying, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I mean, it's sort of like God just presents a picture of how fantastic his word is and how great it is, what his word does and how it blesses and profits you. And it's like, oh my gosh, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a fabulous presentation of God's word by God himself. And you see, you read this, and this is why we take time and make time to read God's word and study God's word. It's so profitable to us. It restores the soul. We read that earlier, right? And, you know, restores the soul means our lives, restores us mentally, physically, spiritually. You know, he sent his word and healed them. It restores the soul. It makes you wise. It rejoices your heart. It enlightens your eyes. It endures forever. It's more to be desired than much fine gold or honey, even the honeycomb. It enlightens us. And in keeping his word, there is great reward. I guess we could say Psalm 19 is awesome. It's really a gold mine about God's word. And it's just one of the places in God's word where God tells us how wonderful his word is and how profitable it is to us. We're going to close in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that the word of God is quick and powerful, meaning it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's a discerner. It's so sharp it can discern between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. Meaning God's word can be a great help to us in discerning right and wrong, something that's good, something that's not good. Helps us, you know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, my way of saying it, helps us cut through the BS that might be around. In Romans, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, God's word. So, familiar, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, or all scripture God breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, obviously right teaching, for reproof, shows us where we might not be believing rightly, shows us where. And then for correction, which brings us back to that right teaching, all three of those are instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or furnished, throughly furnished unto all good works. God's word's very profitable to us. And that's why it's so important to rightly understand the scriptures. That's why we make the time and take the time to make sure we rightly understand this wonderful word of God. So we close in 2 Timothy, back up page maybe. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study, or you could say be diligent. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We don't learn and grow in God's word so we can impress other people. You know how many Bible verses I know? It's for our benefit and blessing. Study, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the word of truth. God's word is true. We saw that in Psalm 19, right? It's the word of truth. So if a person wants to know the truth, it's in this book, the truth. So Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, for what a great privilege it is for us in this day and time to have such easy access to your words, the whole Bible. Thank you, Father, for giving to us an understanding of your great word so that we could understand you and the things of God and all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us, the complete salvation and redemption that we have, the great gift of Holy Spirit that you've given us, and our great future that we look forward to. Thank you, Father, that we could know the truth, that we could understand you and your wonderful word. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this morning. And Father, I pray that you would bless everyone here, those on the hookup, and Father, those that may listen to this teaching at a different time. And Father, may we just continue to reverence your word, have great reverence and respect and awe for your wonderful word that you gave so we could be blessed. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.